Welcome to On Tour with Sport 24. I'm Emma Saunders and this is your guide to the world's most iconic sporting cities. Each episode we'll be heading to a different part of the world to give you an inside view into what makes it a sporting city. We're going to find out what the locals recommend to get a real flavour of its sports and culture and what you should experience when you come to visit. It's what Sport 24 is all about, a sports channel that connects onboard passengers to those unmissable live sporting moments. So whether you're flying at 35,000 feet or relaxing on your ocean cruise, you can be watching the game live. Sounds like the only way to travel. So buckle up and sit back. You're listening to On Tour with Sport 24.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Sport 24, we'd like to welcome you to Miami.
Yes, for this episode, we're headed stateside. We're in Florida, the coastal metropolis of Miami. And when we're talking exotic travel locations, there's only one person to partner me for the journey. It's our TikToker travel extraordinaire, Rob Adcock. Hi, Rob. Now, when we talk about the luxuries of life, Miami is certainly a place that springs to mind, isn't it?
It's unbelievable. I remember my time spent there was just like, It was just hot. That was the most important thing I remember about it. Very sticky, but just everything that you could hope for in a destination you go to visit. It was just glorious. The sunshine, everything about it, the excess, it was just amazing.
I did wonder though, because you're a man that likes to travel on a budget, aren't you? Is that possible in the luxury of Miami, which usually tends to attract the rich and the famous as we know it?
I think there's lots of things that you can do on a budget in Miami. There's definitely lots of things you can do if you're not on a budget in Miami, which I'm sure Bill will tell us all about a little bit later on. But it's just one of those places when you get there, you just have to appreciate just some of the amazing things that are there, which we'll come on to later on, like the Art Deco site, South Beach, and all those kind of things. It's just a proper place to go.
Well, as we've heard there, Rob has had the pleasure of visiting Miami, but we couldn't do this without a Miami local. The man knows the place inside out. We have found just the person, and we're delighted to say that American sports commentator Bill Roth joins us. Hi, Bill. Now, there's going to be people listening to this that may well recognise your dulcet tones, so you'll be familiar to some, but for anyone that hasn't heard of you before, just tell us a bit about what you do and who you are.
Well, it's so nice to be with you today to talk about one of the great cities in the world, the fabulous South Florida area of Miami. I grew up splashing in Miami Beach as a little three-year-old, so I have been working the beach and the sand before I could even swim over there. But I've spent the last 35 years as an American sports commentator for ESPN and other networks and teams, broadcasting essentially American football and basketball with a little baseball thrown in there as well. But I'll tell you what the best part of my job is. It's the travel all over the states. And I assure you that one of the most underrated sports destinations is Miami because of everything that it has to offer. So it's a great day to talk about all the wonderful things South Florida has to offer.
This is it. As a sports commentator in a sporting city like Miami, I can't believe that you'd ever be short of work ever again. There's something for everyone, truly, isn't there?
It's the most global sports city in America. In a way, it's the sport capital of South America, too, because there is so much South American influence here, but there's so much European influence too. And so Miami is situated at the very tip of Florida. And it's known, obviously, as you guys were talking about, for its incredible beaches and its great culture and nonstop nightlife. But the teams reflect that, right? They've got these colorful uniforms and these brilliant stadiums and the glamorous stars and their glamorous wives. It's just a tremendous place to experience sports.
Emma, before we go any further, can we just point out how good Bill's voice is?
It's giving me tingles. So soothing.
It's like the best bassy voice I think I've ever heard in my entire life. Can you just like read me a bedtime story, Bill? Can you just like record me one and send it across? Because that's just immense.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. Thank you so much. But you know, I you all are invited, and everyone's listening. Everyone listening is invited to South Florida. Any budget, there's a place for you in Florida. Hey, and the beach is free, guys. It doesn't cost anything. Just grab a towel and some sunscreen, Rob, as you know, right? Because it can get a little, you can get a sunburn here if you're not careful.
Yeah, I think Rob might need his factor 50, that's for sure. But we're going to go specifically into some of the different sports that you can take in Miami. But generally speaking, I've heard the word beach a lot. When I think of Miami, I think Key Lime Pie and yes, South Beach, feeling the heat, as Will Smith would say. But what else does it have to offer generally, Bill?
Well, obviously, it's a global city. So the Cuban influence, the Venezuelan, the Colombian, the Chilean, plus European. There's so many Europeans. So it's a global sport destination as well. Formula One drivers, pro golfers make South Florida their home, or at least one of their homes. But our teams are some of the most iconic in our country. The Miami Dolphins are the oldest professional sports team in town. They are the only team, here's a good trivia note for you, they're the only NFL team to this day to ever finish undefeated, 17-0 back in 1972. It's never happened since. A team win every one of its games. And they have these beautiful turquoise aqua uniforms that reflect the city's water, the beautiful turquoise water. The Miami Heat, who have the most colorful uniforms in all of pro basketball worldwide, they've won 3 NBA titles. And the Marlins, the baseball team, they also have colorful uniforms. They've won a couple of World Series. So we've got the Dolphins, we've got the Marlins, we've got the Heat. Do you sense a theme? Water, warm, tropical water in professional sports. And great swag, by the way. Like you can wear a Dolphin baseball cap, okay, and go to any event in Miami because it's the Dolphins.
God, the way Bill describes things, you feel like you're there and I have to snap my fingers and be like, no, we've got to do it. Right, hang on, we've got a podcast to do here.
I'm just going to listen to Bill for the next hour and a half.
Oh, Bill, the way you paint the picture there, it really does feel like we're there on Miami Beach about to dip our toes in the water. You mentioned the Dolphins there. We're going to get into them in a moment or two, but we're actually going to start by taking a look at the fastest sport in the world. F1 cars racing around the city at up to 200 miles per hour, as reporter Christian Hugill has been telling us.
Welcome to the Hard Rock Stadium here in Miami, Florida, usually home to the Miami Dolphins, this weekend home to Formula One's Miami Grand Prix. And Formula One has taken over this part of the world. Everywhere you go in Miami, you see Formula One team merch. And the paddock behind me here has been crammed into the side of this amazing American football stadium. And inside the paddock, on the pitch of the Miami Dolphins Stadium, is where all the teams and drivers hang out in between races in their hospitality areas, seeing American driver Logan Sargeant and Sir Lewis Hamilton just wandering around on the pitch of the Miami Dolphins Stadium. It is quite unbelievable. And the racing circuit stretches around the grounds of this magnificent stadium. It is truly an F1 event like no other.
I have no idea whether you can hear me, because there are cars on the track below me. So not only can fans get the full tour of Miami by walking around the site, you can also go above the site to get a proper bird's eye view of the Miami Formula One experience. And considering this is a temporary event, the infrastructure they put up to host this race is incredible.
So the Miami International Autodrome was first introduced to the F1 calendar in 2022 and has already become a major attraction for fans and celebrities alike. Racing around the world-famous Hard Rock Stadium, home to American football team the Miami Dolphins, it has well and truly brought that X Factor feeling to Formula One. So who best to speak to than a current Formula One driver? And not only that, but a Miami local. I've been chatting to Williams F1 driver Logan Sargeant at a very special location aboard the set of a business class cabin promoting Sport 24 and its brilliant live sport coverage, including the F1. Oh, Logan, just another day in the life of a Formula One driver.
Honestly, I don't think I've ever been sat in a plane to do a bit of filming, but no, it's been cool.
It feels real, though, doesn't it?
A little bit. I mean, it's set up pretty good.
Mind you, you're a seasoned flyer, aren't you? You must spend half your life on aeroplanes.
Too much. I honestly don't want to know the amount of hours and days and flights I do a year. But to be honest, I feel like with flying, it's actually grown on me because I feel like it's the one place that I can get to that no one can bother me.
I knew you were going to say that.
And it's just the time that I can just have to myself and relax.
Yeah, what do you do to fill the time? Are you a movie person, a podcast person?
Anything, any sort of entertainment. I tend to try and keep myself busy. Sort of my flights go with getting on the plane, listening to some music. You know, movies are always key to sort of pass some time. And of course, I love my sport, so I'll be looking out for Sport 24 going forward as well. And yeah, if not, I get to sleep and try to battle the jet lag wherever we're going.
Well, it's important that you're getting your sleep as you've moved up, haven't you, from Formula 2 into the fast lane of Formula 1. How have you find that whole kind of transition? What's it been like?
As silly as it sounds, it's just another race car. It just goes a bit faster. That's simply as it is. At the same time, there's a lot to learn. The car is a lot faster, so it does take some adapting the way that the car needs to be driven. But to be honest, I felt pretty comfortable right away. And now just working on the details, trying to iron out some of the small things. And it's coming to me. It's getting better and better. But most importantly, just have enjoyed every second of the first few races. And yeah.
For anyone that's not been to Miami that might be listening to this, if they're an F1 fan or not, how would you describe it as a sporting city? How would you sum it up?
As a sporting city?
Yeah, I suppose with a bit of an F1 focus, but generally speaking, because, I mean, it lives and breathes sport, doesn't it? There's just about something for everyone.
It does. I think Miami's not happy unless they're winning. but to be honest, I think as a whole, that Miami is generally very passionate about their sports. I feel like in terms of F1, it's growing. It's still a work in progress of, you know, building that sort of foundation and that, you know, that sort of fan base. But, you know, if it's going to be anything like the football and basketball and hockey and baseball teams, we're in for a good crowd.
It seems when you watch events on TV that you get such an eclectic mix of the luxury, you know, the rich and the famous, but then a huge part of Miami is street art deco, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, Wynwood is the sort of artistic area of Miami, and it's really cool, even just to sort of drive through there, see all the...
Yeah, what's it like?
A lot of graffiti, yeah. And it's really cool. Like, even Art Basel now has become huge, whereas, I don't know, 10 or so years ago wasn't what it is now, so... yeah, it's definitely becoming more artistic, in my opinion.
Can you take any of that in when you're going as fast as you are in an F1 car? Sure.
I don't think so. I think in the F1 car we're focused on the task at hand.
Yeah,
I'm just looking forward to going home.
Tell us about Miami when you're living there, because I know you live in London now, don't mm-hmm. you? But do you get to go home very much?
Not enough. Mm-hmm. I get back as much as I can. I enjoy being on the water, get some sunshine for once. But yeah, really just get back with friends, family, go out on the boat, be on the water, do some fishing, hang out on the beach, stuff like that. That's sort of what recharges my batteries when I get my time off.
Plenty of restaurants as well.
Yeah. A lot of good restaurants, that's for sure.
What would you recommend for anyone listening to this?
Oof. Well, Miami generally has a lot of amazing restaurants. One that I recommend and I'm going to go to when I'm home is a restaurant called Carbone. It's an Italian restaurant, and they produce some good food.
Well, key lime pie is the delicacy,
key
isn't
lime
it?
Pie. So I'm not a crazy pie person.
Right. Of course, you're an athlete.
Yeah, exactly. I can't be in that. But my friend Kyle actually makes a great key lime pie, so I might have to have him make one and I'll try it. So
yeah, especially if he scores some more.
Bring into the track. Let the team.
Kyle's key lime pie.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll keep an eye out for that. away from the F1, like we said, we're touching it a bit already. There is just so much going on as far as sport goes. NFL, are you a fan?
Yeah, big Miami Dolphins fan. Yeah. That's for sure.
Do you get to go and watch? I mean, I know you're on the road all the time, but when you can, do you get to try and go to watch them?
I actually just got to a game on Christmas Day. They brought me as a guest, so thank you to them. It was an amazing day, and we didn't quite get the W, but...
How do you sum up the fan experience, though, generally?
At an NFL game?
Yeah.
I think it's awesome.
In Miami?
Yeah. I mean, I love basketball and NFL. I honestly recommend for everyone to go and see a game, because it's pretty awesome. And I truly mean it when the crowd is... The energy that they bring is insane, and I don't know. I feel like when the atmosphere is good, it doesn't matter how the game is going. It's just a good place to be.
Do you think that's quite unique to Miami as well? There's something quite special about the atmosphere there.
I think it's definitely a great fan base, but I think it's sort of select locations around the world that really bring a level of energy that you don't always feel. I think, for example, in racing sense, Silverstone is one of those where you go to the track and you can really feel the energy and atmosphere, and just puts you in a better mood to go out and perform.
So that's NFL. Obviously, we've got NBA as well. Are you into that?
Miami Heat. Yeah. That's my team. Jimmy Buckets.
Get yourself down there to watch them at all.
I haven't been to a Heat game in probably 3 years now. I used to go a lot as a kid. Growing up, it was sort of when we just introduced the big three, which was LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. And we were winning championships, and I would be at a lot of the games, and yeah, I miss it.
That's your local team. Can you imagine? Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, I was pretty fortunate with when I was growing up that we just happened to be dominating at the time. But we're trying to get back there.
Yeah, I suppose the newest franchise there is MLS, isn't it? Into Miami, with David Beckham's name attached to it. Have you kind of noticed within this city what that's brought as well? I know you probably haven't been back too much, but it's kind of put it on the map a little bit more, hasn't it?
I haven't been back enough to notice it, but for sure... people are talking about it. It's definitely a thing, and it's definitely coming up as well. It would be nice to maybe, I know they're building a new stadium as well. Might be nice to go and check it out sometime. But I haven't been to a game yet, and I haven't seen too much, so
yeah.
I'm not sure, but I would like to check it out.
We missed anything else, NHL? Apparently you're a keen paddle player, someone told me as well. Is that
a
right?
A paddle player?
Yeah.
I play a bit of paddle here
How
and there.
How on earth do you have time in between the F1 and everything else to pick up a paddle racket as well?
Well, you know, we have time.
Where did you pick that up?
Honestly, I feel like it's a really big sport for drivers right now. It's like, generally, a lot of the drivers play paddle, and when we go away for sort of 2 weeks and we have sort of 4 or 5 days off in the middle, a lot of us will go and play paddle. And
it's good? Where do you rank?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not that good. My trainer always beats me, so that says something. But I think it's honestly a good game because it's a 4-person game. You don't have to cover too much ground, waste too much energy, but at the same time have a good time.
Yeah. Well, lots to look forward to then when you head home. But for now, we wish you the best of luck with your next race.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Bill, if sports fans weren't already envious of people in Miami having MLS, NFL, NHL, MLB, NBA, the list goes on, to now have an F1 track as well and a part in that calendar, if possible, it takes it up another level, doesn't it, as a sporting destination?
It does, and the track runs right around the Hard Rock Stadium, which is one of the most unique sporting facilities in the world because It hosts, it's going to host the World Cup in a few years when it comes to the USA. It's the home of the Miami Dolphins and the College Miami Hurricanes. The Miami Open tennis is right there, and the F1 track. So there's very few facilities that can have that type of versatility where you could have cars racing around and then world-class tennis players and then the World Cup all in the same, essentially the same venue.
Rob, it's such a cool destination. These are the vibes that I keep getting. We've mentioned kind of the rich and the famous and the luxury. To have the F1 there, it perfectly sits with the aesthetic, doesn't it? Or does it, based on your experience there?
I can imagine if I was going to pick a sport that was going to go hand in hand with Miami, F1 is definitely up there. Just everything about it, the setting, what it brings to it, what it means, what it is to be involved in the F1 is just perfect. When you think of the other tracks around the world, Miami just goes hand in hand. But before we go into the F1, what is so special about Kyle's pie? That is the first question I want to know. Have we got any inside information about the pie?
No, he kind of shut it down quite quickly, actually, after that.
Because it sounded immense.
As an athlete, I think the less pie talk, probably the better at this stage. Bill, we've talked a little bit, well, the word beach has been mentioned a lot, but actually with that, it's not necessarily about the golden sand, is it? It's the water we keep hearing about.
Yes, as they say, water so deep you can see to the bottom. And if you are a beach aficionado and you know how wonderful warm water is, and you walk up to your shoulders and you can look down and see the little tropical fish swimming around your ankles, that is when you know you're in Miami. So that's exciting. But you know, the Miami Heat, the arena where our NBA team plays, you can actually, they have, I want to say boat parking, Emma and Rob, it's really yacht parking, right? You bring your yacht up to the arena, you toss a line to the gentleman, the dock master, and you pull your yacht and go to an NBA game in Miami.
So what is this,
it's
like
very unique
tailgating,
in that,
but the yacht version?
Correct. So the other thing that I think is really interesting here is we talked a little bit about the boating. There's so many outdoor sports here, whether it's windsurfing or swimming. The Worldwide Swimming Hall of Fame is here in Fort Lauderdale. And so that that is open to the public, and you can swim in the pool. You can, Emma, if you want, I think they have like the highest platform diving station in the world.
Yeah, I think that's a bit more Rob than me. It's usually Rob that's into all the high adrenaline stuff. Yeah.
Rob, do you want to try that? And by the way, it's not the jump that's scary, it's the splash. You got to hit the water right.
Bill, my memories of Miami, what I remember more than anything is the fact that you mentioned it's all surrounded by water, and you don't really kind of appreciate just what's that like until you're there. Because it's the miles of bridges that it's, am I right? I think it's South Beach is a peninsula. It's just everything around it. Once you're in there, it just encapsulates you. Is that a fair? Is my memory correct?
It is correct. So Miami Beach is actually a separate city from downtown Miami. So the arena's Miami baseball team, the arena where the NBA team, the Heat, plays, they're actually in downtown Miami, so which is where the airport is and the majority of the people. If you go across, there are several causeways that go across the water where all the cruise ships are. It's fantastic. I am envious. My office is not in one of the 80-story skyscrapers in downtown Miami that overlook Biscayne Bay and the Atlantic Ocean. And you, from those offices, all you see is water. You feel like you look south, you see Havana, you look to the east, and you see the British Virgin Islands or the Bahamas. That's how high it is. And you see dolphins all the time and sea turtles and manatee. And the water goes all through the downtown area. So it's really a remarkable place. But I think what's really cool is you can go out in a boat. It's not just looking at it. You can go out and swim in it and boat in it. And that's what makes it such a great place to live in and a great place to visit.
Well, what a setting it sounds like for the Miami Grand Prix. And of course, if you are a big motor racing fan, you can watch the action from the current Formula One season live on Sport 24. And if you've just been or you're planning a trip to Miami, then we would love to hear any of your travel hints and tips and see all your pictures and videos you've collated. You can follow Sport 24 on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram and use the hashtag MySport24 to get in touch. Now, Rob, as always, you've been busy doing your research. As in every episode, we want to give you, the listener, the best tips about our chosen city, all in one handy list. Whether that be places to grab a pre-match drink, have a bite to eat, or simply somewhere you just have to visit. It's time for our Miami Tourist Top 5.
So number 5, I'm going to start with an obvious one, Bill. Forgive me for this. Right, imagine the scenes, Emma. You know that feeling when you're on holiday and you can just feel the warmth of the sun on your face. You can just hear the gentle swish of the waves. Picture perfect blue sky, golden sands. Then imagine me, top off, fleshy landslide of a tummy, looking like Casper the Friendly Ghost, just with a little bit of a podge, wandering down the beach. And that is South Beach. It is one of the most beautiful places that you will ever visit. When you think of Miami, when you think of that Will Smith video, which is a few mentions this podcast, that is what you think of. It's free, it's perfect, just for people watching, if nothing else, because it is literally every type of person that you can expect in the world. Bill, am I right?
You're right. South Beach is a must-see. It is a great people-watching place. The beach itself is great, and it's a different vibe at night, right? You might not go out till 1 or 2 in the morning, Rob and Emma. This is not, you have a late dinner and then go out and party till dawn.
Right, so that's number 5. At number 4, while you're down that end of the city, cross the road, go across and take a look at some of the Art Deco works, those front of those buildings there. You know when you watch the television programs, you watch the films, you see people going down in these convertibles and you see these amazing houses, amazing buildings that lie to the side of the road next to the beach. That is the Art Deco area. We went on a little bit, one of those walking guided tours. Some of the history of it that is there is just unbelievable. And it's one of those places where instantly when you see it, you think to yourself, this is a holiday. Bill, is that correct?
It is. The city of Miami Beach has been really good at maintaining the Art Deco culture. The inside of the hotels has been renovated. Inside, it's fabulous. It's great. But from the outside, it looks the same today as it did in 1940 or 1950.
The next two, I think Emma is going to love. So that was number 4. At number 3, the area of Lincoln Road. So when we went, we stayed not far away from here. And it's one of those places, you know when you go to an American city and at night it kind of lights up and it's like a different place. Kind of place that when it's all illuminated at night with all the bright colours, you can't remember what it must be like in the day, even though it's only a few hours ago. All the shops that you could ever wish for, Emma, you would literally be carrying shopping bags for the next week and a half. There are that many shops to go and enjoy. Yes, you might spend a couple of quid, but it's worth it. Emma, does that sound like something you'd be interested in?
It certainly does. I'm just wondering where I got this reputation that A, I like going out and spending loads of money, and B, I like partying until the small hours. I'm not sure where this has come from, but I have to say, you're bang on.
Bill and I are living vicariously through you, and we are living for it. So that is number 3. Number 2, this was so close to being number 1 because this is one of my favourite memories of Miami, and it's the area of Little Havana. So my kind of resounding memory of the place was just the amazing graffiti that you see when you wander around, and they do absolutely amazing killer mojitos. Genuinely fantastic. One of those things where you think to yourself, right, if I'm ever going to take a photograph and send it to my friends to make them insanely jealous, this is the area that I'm going to and this is the drink I'm going to have. Bill, have you had a mojito in Little Havana?
I have. I've had many meals there. It's great. And Little Havana is more than a tourist destination. You know, there's a political flavor to it, a major political flavor of the current situation and the situation in Cuba over the last 50 years and the way people respect their homeland and love their homeland. And the political climate there is not good. However, the folks who are here love their country, and it's a great place. You talk about some amazing music and great food, and as you mentioned, a great mojito. It's a must-see. It's an educational thing as well to go through Little Havana, meet the people and talk with them and enjoy their culture.
Well, the mention of mojito there has got me thirsty in this studio. By the sounds of it, there are plenty of places to quench that thirst, Bill. But what's your favorite restaurant? There was one that you had to recommend. What would it be?
Oh, I would say back to the beach. Let's go back to the beach to the Fountain Blue Hotel, where the glamorous DJs and beautiful people all gather. And they have some very incredible cocktails on the beach and on the dance floor at the Fountain Blue.
And at number one, slight curveball, forgive the pun, I'm saying my favourite activity to do from my memory of times in Miami was going to the indoor batting cages. Now, you might be thinking, Rob, that's a little bit strange, but genuinely, one of those things. So if you've never done it before, you go in. I always wanted to have a go at baseball, always fancy myself, thought I'd be quite good at it. Not bad at cricket, you remember? Just throwing that one out there. But it's one of those places where you go in and it feels like it's like a proper, authentic American thing to do. And we spent hours in this batting cage. Me and my other half got very, very competitive. I won. I probably shouldn't mention that. Just want to keep a happy marriage. But what a way to spend an afternoon. When it rains, and sometimes when it rains in Miami, it gives you a limited amount of things to do. But if you can get in one of those batting cages, it is hours of fun.
May well have a future British member of the Miami Marlins, Bill. You never know.
That would be fantastic. That is a uniquely American activity where you pay $20 and have a machine throw a baseball at you. It's not like a golf driving range where the ball sits still. You pay and they throw a thing at you. Yeah.
I'm not sure if that sounds like pleasure or punishment, Rob, but by all accounts, you had a great afternoon doing it.
It was, when I think of America now and I think of Miami, that is my favourite thing that we did. Those baseballs do fly at you, but when you get your eye in, Emma, you get your eye in.
Well, there we have it. That is Rob's Miami Tourist Top 5. So, we've spoken about Formula One, and now it's time to speak about those traditional American sports that across the world we've come to love.
Busy weekend in South Florida. Miami Heat beat the Knicks last night in their Game 3. Udonis Haslem here taking in Game 3 between the Panthers and the Toronto Maple Leafs. And this is Duclair sneaking in for the forehand. He scores!
It is possible Miami could get to the NBA Finals the way they're playing. So it's possible he could be back as Bam Adebayo soars to the rim and stuffs it through. Miami Heat's improbable playoff run continues.
NFL, NBA, MLB, the list goes on, doesn't it, Bill? Doesn't it, Rob? It really feels as if Miami is a capital for sporting superstars and spectacular sporting stadiums.
It is, and the stadiums themselves are, in a way, work of arts as well, where the Dolphins play, where the World Cup will be in a few years, Hard Rock Stadium. It is lit up, and they change the colors. Every night, you drive by the stadium, and it's like, wow, it's pink or it's purple tonight or it's turquoise tonight. Look at that. Or for St. Patrick's Day, it's green. It's a beautiful place. And the stadiums reflect the beauty of the city.
You've traveled around. You've taken in so many different sporting cities, Rob. But what would you say the fan culture in Miami, what did it feel like?
It felt really passionate to me, and I don't mean that as if other cities aren't passionate, but it felt like it was one of those places where sport was at heart of everything that goes on there. You go to other cities, you go to other states, and it can feel like it's just another thing that happens that weekend or that night, whereas for me, it felt like when any of those sports were happening, it was an event. It felt like there was always something to look forward to. It was one of the first things that when you went into a shop or you went in to get something to eat, it was the first thing that people wanted to talk to you about. And as soon as they realized I was English, they wanted to talk to me about football. They wanted to talk to me about which teams were big in England. And it's one of those things that when you kind of, you get immersed into it and you get to feel that culture, you get to feel the passion for it. It's really like, it's probably, it makes you want to kind of go to all these events. Bill, when I've been to other states around America, I found that certain sports were bigger than others. What would you say is Miami's main sport that they really focus on? What is like the passion month for them?
Well, like many cities, Miami likes a winner. So whoever's winning certainly is the most popular team at the time. The Miami Dolphins have been the most traditional team. Parents take their kids and it's multi-generational. You see that in at the stadium, right? You see a little boy with his dad or mom, and then you see the grandma or grandfather with them as well. And they were out in the tailgate lot tailgating because that's what Nana did back in 1972 at the Orange Bowl, which doesn't exist anymore, but the tailgating was very big. And so I think the Dolphins are probably the most tradition-rich team, and over the years they've been the most popular. That being said, the Miami Heat NBA team, they are the ultimate intersection of sports and culture and fashion and vibe and music. And a Miami Heat game is very similar to like being at a club And that is unusual. You know, a lot of places probably try to force that. I mean, anybody can have a DJ behind the basket and push play on a machine and pump it over the PA system. In Miami, it's genuine. In Miami, you can bring the disco club feel to an NBA game, and it feels very organic and very natural. And that's what's so cool about a Heat game. Even if you're not a basketball fan, you enjoy going to a Miami Heat game because it's so surreal and it's uniquely Miami.
You mentioned the word tailgating there, Bill. A lot of people listening to this will be familiar with tailgating. It is a sort of pre-match routine or ritual. But for anyone that has never experienced a tailgate party, which actually can look a bit different in Miami, can't it, if you're near the marina, and instead of it being a truck, which you typically see at tailgating, may well be a yacht. Just take us inside that and what tailgating looks like in Miami.
Yeah, you can take your yacht to a Heat game and have a pregame cocktail there. But at Hard Rock, where the University of Miami and the Miami Dolphins play American football, the stadium is surrounded by grass parking lots. And on a game day, it is very common to see grills where people are grilling steaks or burgers or hot dogs or shrimp or lobster, and the smoke billows out. And so there's a scent, right? There's a smell to a football, American football game, because thousands of people are outside the stadium hours before the game cooking and staying very well hydrated. So there's an alcohol element to that as well, but that's all part of it. It's a uniquely American football thing where people plan their tailgates months in advance, and they're very friendly. They invite the fans of the other team, the supporters of the opponent, to come join them, because, you know, maybe in several weeks or next year, the game is on the road, and now you have a friend that's going to have a tailgate party in Boston or New York or Tampa or another city. So you oftentimes befriend the opponent, particularly if they have a very, very nice tailgate party planned for you the following year.
You mentioned there as well about the importance of staying hydrated. But in all seriousness, is there anything, if anyone's listening to this and they're thinking of taking in sport in Miami, that they should think about when it comes to preparing for what is usually scorching sunshine, isn't it? But also in the event that there's a bit of rain, is most of this tailgating and the various stadiums we're talking about, are they undercover?
The Hard Rock, the new Hard Rock, is designed where all of the seats are covered, so you're blocked from the sun. And look, you have to wear sunscreen at all times if you're not used to, and that's true whether it's Miami or any of the Caribbean islands, or as you get south towards the equator, obviously we know that, right? But if you're just sitting in the sun at a baseball game, and I'll tell you another amazing facility here. The Miami Marlins Baseball Stadium is an indoor stadium with the roof that opens like a gigantic jet hangar. The roof opens, it's on a massive, almost railroad track. And so it may be open when you get there and then they close it later, or vice versa. So if it's going to rain, they close the roof. If it's really hot, they close the roof. If it's a beautiful night in the month of June or July, it's open. And you see downtown Miami in its myriad of colors lit up while you watch the baseball game. So that's a very uniquely Miami facility as well. The Marlins Park would not work in any other city. It's totally designed to be colorful and international. And they one of the most fun things of the year, guys, is when the Marlins do their Dominican Republic night. And in the Dominican, they bring trumpets to baseball games, and they play throughout the game. And it's a party in the stands for 3 hours.
I can remember that really vividly now, because there's a big motorway that runs parallel to the Marlins Park. And I just remember now, clear as anything, looking up to my left-hand side and just seeing it's such a massive, imposing stadium that when you drive past it, you just see the huge Marlin on the side of it. And it was a beautiful blue night. And I'll never forget driving down that motorway and seeing it to my left-hand side. It was amazing.
With it being so eye-catching, I did wonder whether it's quite hard actually to get tickets to these games that we're talking about, whether it's NFL, MLB, the soccer. But Rob, how did you find it on the ground?
from my experience of having no connections in the cities whatsoever, I've always found it's been quite easy to get tickets for the baseball. Obviously, when we went to certain cities, it was quite difficult. Like going to certain clubs in Chicago is quite difficult. But whenever I've wanted to go to any kind of sporting event, in my experience, the baseball has been quite straightforward to get hold of. Bill will probably correct me, but I think it's because it's such a huge stadium and because you've got so many options to get those seats. Again, NBA, it's been quite straightforward for me to get tickets in the past, just going and searching online just before we went there. But the one that I've always found to be quite tricky, and Bill will tell me all about this now, I'm sure, is the NFL. It feels like something you've got to really plan for if you want to go to the NFL.
True, unless you're willing to spend some money on the secondary market. You're absolutely right, Rob. And the reason is, baseball, you play 81 home games. And in the NBA, you're playing 40 home games. And in the NFL, you play 8. So the demand...
Supply-demand issue, yeah.
Correct. Even though the stadium seats 70-something thousand people, there's only the 8 home games, and that's the thing. And if you're willing to get on the secondary market, on the various apps, you can always find tickets.
Well, we've touched on it a little bit already, but founded in 2018 by English football legend David Beckham, Inter Miami are one of the newest members of Major League Soccer and currently play in front of 18,000 fans at Drive Pink Stadium until their new proposed stadium, Miami Freedom Park, is opened in 2025. Well, Bill, with NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL as well, I'm surprised anyone's got any time to go and watch soccer as well. But you tell us, just how big is football in Miami?
It's getting bigger and bigger. And I think with the World Cup coming and the tremendous international flavor of this city, it'll be a huge success. Right now, the stadium where they're playing in only seats 18,000 people. And it's hard to get a ticket. In fact, one of the hardest tickets of the year, we were talking about how hard it is to get a ticket. Real Madrid played Barcelona in a friendly in an 18,000-seat stadium, and I think half of Spain showed up for the game. No one could get in. That's the smallest venue I think those teams have probably ever competed against each other in, and it was just very cool for the fans, right, for the spectators, because you're right on top, you're right next to the field, and that's unusual. This is a soccer/football crazy region, and that's because of the international flavor. When Argentina plays, Edes Grill is packed. When France won the World Cup, even today, there's a French restaurant on Las Olas Boulevard in Fort Lauderdale called La Bonne Crepe. It is just decorated completely with pictures and murals from that team, and there's such an international a flavor and a global flavor to the Miami sports scene that it's going to be a huge success here.
As a Brit, you always look for the kind of English connections to a football club. I always do. I don't know if you're the same member. And there's a big English connection when it comes to Inter Miami. Phil Neville's son, Ryan Shawcross, the former England and Stoke City player, played out there. Is it one of those places that I can imagine where people want to join because of where it is in the world and where it is in America?
I think one of the interesting things will be who they sign and what the financial backing will be. I think we're very curious where Messi will end his career, for example. I think the things that would help the MLS the most would be if more American kids sign with English teams. If more American athletes play there, we tend to follow our own, just like any country, right? You follow your own. I think if we could have more American players star in the Premier League, American athletes somehow become players of note, that would help. But New York, Miami, and Los Angeles clearly are already there as soccer hotbeds in our country.
Well, Rob, you mentioned him just a moment ago. Ryan Shawcross played for Inter Miami in 2021, and you've been speaking with him about his experience.
Yeah, delighted to be joined by Ryan Shawcross. Ryan, when the phone rang and your agent said, "We've got Inter Miami interested," what was the first thing that attracted you to go there?
Obviously, I'd heard of it in the past because of obviously David Beckham's influence, and obviously he's an owner there, so that obviously stirred up a lot of interest in the UK media. So I knew about it for a number of years. So you're always looking out at different projects throughout the world, and that's a really interesting one. So when that came up and my Stoke time came sort of towards the end, it was an offer that just made sense. And when I spoke to Phil Neville, the manager, he sold it to me. And obviously Florida as a place is an amazing place to live, and the sunshine. But the interest probably in MLS was probably the main thing that made me want to go, just because it's a new challenge, it's been different and something I really enjoyed.
How'd you look back on your time while you were down there then? What was it like for you?
I absolutely loved it. Just the whole experience of a new team, new teammates, different cultures, because we had a very Hispanic group of players, so a lot of Argentinian players, a lot of South American players. It was the main language was Spanish, so that was a challenge for me. But that, and then just moving to a different country, taking my family with me, the kids, having a new school to go to, different experiences, and then obviously a different climate. All these things come together, and it was a great experience. I absolutely loved it, and I'm so glad I did it.
In terms of the club itself, it feels like it's a proper up-and-coming club. It feels like there's loads going on for it.
Yeah, with Beckham, the link with David Beckham, and then the owners, the Mas brothers, Jorge Mas, are desperate for it to do well. And the interesting thing with MLS, you can go from maybe being one of the worst teams in the league to one of the best really quickly. It's not like the stereotypical European leagues where you have a top four or a top six that are always the same. Over there, you can 1 year be the worst team, the next year win the league. So that makes it really interesting. So they're on a journey trying to get to the top of the MLS, and each year they're improving. They got in the playoffs last year. So it's a great project, and I'm sure with the influences of David Beckham and how famous he is and how much he brings in, I've no doubt they'll eventually win the MLS and be one of the best teams in America.
The whole area seems like it's sports mad. Is that your experience of what it was like?
Yeah, that was a fantastic pull for us. That we were going to the NFL games, we were going to the NBA games. So we turned into massive NBA fans, NFL fans. Did that on a number of occasions. It was a great experience to go down and watch the Miami team in Miami, and then obviously the Dolphins. That was another great experience because the stadium's so big, and just a whole different sport and a whole different type of atmosphere. So that's something that the kids really enjoyed, and I enjoyed. It's just an eye-opener of different sports and different ways of doing things.
How does going to see a Heat game or a Dolphins game compare to going to a football match?
They're a lot longer. They do they do drive out there. So if you're going to a Heat game, it's for 3 or 4 hours, and the Dolphins even more. If you go to a Dolphin game, you're there for 6-7 hours. But they do it better. So the before the game, the food, the drink, the entertainment, that's where probably England, the Premier League, the EFL are all miles behind. They do it so much better, and they cater towards the fans in a better way, and then the fans spend more money. So that's why some of the biggest sports brands are over there, because the amount of money they can generate from the halftime performances and the stuff before and after games is amazing.
In terms of a city, what is Miami like for you? What was it like? What's your experience like of being in the city itself?
It's interesting. So it's got a bit of everything. Obviously, South Beach is a lovely place, and there's some really nice different culture. There's little zones of people from Colombia, Argentina, and the restaurants around there are lovely, and the food's very good. And then the beach is about as good as you get in Miami. So there's so much to do. And then you've got all the inlets where there's loads of parties and different restaurants and bars. It's just a great place to live, and you can see why there's that massive pull to people to live in that area.
Our thanks to former Inter Miami footballer or soccer player Ryan Shawcross. And speaking of places to eat, Bill, there's a little restaurant around the corner from you that lured the entire Argentina football team.
Yeah, the Eres Grill, which is an Argentinian steakhouse, they got a phone call last fall and they said, we'd like to bring a group over. We'll buy out your entire restaurant for the evening. And it was the Argentina side and team only. And coaches and staff and that type of thing, but no fans. It was not open to the public, but Emma and Rob, word leaked out that Messi and Argentina were having steak and drinks and churros on Los Olas Boulevard. But it was well secured, and they were able to have a great dinner. But when you guys come to the States, I will take you there.
Yeah, I expect exactly the same kind of shutdown. Thank you very much. If it's good enough for Lionel Messi and the Argentina side, then it'll be the same for Rob and I. I hope they shut down the entire place for us all night. Well, we've just about covered off every sport, that apart from tennis. Like every big sporting city, Miami is no different in that tennis also plays a huge part. And Bill, the Miami Open is held each year, usually around March, April time, isn't it? So what can you tell us about the Miami Open?
Fantastic event. It's also over near the Hard Rock Stadium. And, you know, tennis is such a big part of the culture here as a participation sport because you can play outside year-round. And so if you drive around South Florida suburbs, not just the city itself, but if you drive around the suburbs, you see a lot of clay court tennis centers and people are out all year round. You can play outside at night here 12 months a year. And so tennis is a very popular sport, tennis and golf, those types of things that are participation sports. But the Miami Open continues to grow, draws incredible crowds, and the best players in the world come here. And some of the best players in the world live here too, because they can be outside practicing year-round.
And to round off, Bill, in each episode, we try and pick up some local lingo. Now, I know we've gone in with you to exactly what tailgating is, but is there anything that's slightly more niche that only the people of Miami may well be familiar with? Perhaps a sporting phrase or just something day-to-day that you might hear in Miami that's quite unique lingo to the city?
I'll give you two, and you can do this at home, you can do this on your plane, or wherever you're sitting right now, okay? Number one, the dolphins, they refer to them as the fish. So if anyone say, how are the fish doing? You know what they're talking about, right? But secondly, the University of Miami, the university's logo is a U. It is not an M. You would think it would be an M for Miami, right? It's not. It's a U. And so on their basketball jerseys, you see a big U on the front. And on their football helmet, you see a U. And when you walk on campus, you see an orange and green, very colorful U. By the way, their campus looks like a five-star resort. It's got lakes and palm trees, and there's these U's all over. So Miami fans, they put their thumbs together, and they make a U. And so in Miami, if you just flash the U sign to everybody, that way they know you're from Miami. And it's all about the U. And that doesn't mean you even went to Miami or you're a fan of Miami. If you do that, that means Miami, the U. So put your thumbs together. Your other eight fingers are straight up in the air. It's all about the U. That way you know you're from Miami. But only someone from here would know that.
I imagine that works quite well, actually, when you're dancing at the EDM festival as well, doesn't it? The U. Rob, would you have found that pretty useful, picking up friends on your travels?
I think I would have been well away if I'd done that. Oh, but if you'd done that in little Havana, it might look like you tried to order 10 mojitos and that changes the night significantly.
Well, that's about all we have time for on our tour of Miami. What a place. It is just about every sport catered for. And of course, you can watch the live action on Sport 24. From the Miami Open to the Formula One and the NBA, Sport 24 connects pastures to those unmissable sporting moments, live, whether in the air or at sea. You can view the live schedule by going to sport24live.com for more details. So it just leaves me to say a huge thank you to our guests. Firstly, to Bill Roth for expertly guiding us through Miami.
Thank you, Emma, and bienvenido a Miami. You're always welcome.
We look forward to getting those mojitos in, Bill. And to TikToker Rob Adcock for being, as always, my trusty travel companion.
Emma, thank you. Throw those U's up. Throw the U's up.
And don't forget to subscribe via your favourite podcast provider to hear more of our trips to other sporting cities such as Melbourne, Madrid and Dubai. We're back soon exploring other destinations, including London, Paris and Tokyo. But for now, you've been listening to me, Emma Saunders, and On Tour with Sport 24. Until next time, safe travels.